Okay, it's on. Okay, burial and reinterment in Eretz Yisrael. It's a very sensitive, popular, falls under a lot of categories, but it's a very important sentimental issue that's affected Eretz Yisrael for many, many generations. The primary Gemaras that deal with this is in the Bavli, Ksubis Kuf Yud Aleph, and Yerushalmi, it's in Kilayim Perek Tes. So, since these Gemaras are quoted throughout the Tshuvas, I decided to skip the intro, the Talmudic intro, so to speak. We'll hit the ground running, go right into the Tshuvas, and from the Tshuvas, we'll learn the Gemaras as well. Okay? So there are two primary reasons that Jewish people want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And we'll see later on, interesting to note, it's not unanimous that's permissible or encouraged to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. We under the impression it's a beautiful thing, and indeed, that's the way most Rishonim learn. It's the way it's Paschal and Shulchan Aruch. But we'll get to a very interesting Rishalmi that says, if you didn't die here, you have no business being buried here. It's Rishalmi like that. Okay. So the two primary reasons are, Aleph, Mishum Kapara, being buried in Eretz Yisrael brings you atonement from your sins. Okay, it's a cleansing. And the second reason we'll get to is because of Tchias HaMeisim, very famous. And we know that if you're buried outside of Israel or inside, that could make a very big difference on how you are resurrected. First one, kapara. The Gemara Ksuv is Kuf Yud Aleph, Amar Rav Anan. Kol HaKavur Be'eretz Yisrael, Kilu Kavur Tachas HaMizbeach. Very famous Gemara, whoever's buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you are buried under the Mizbeach. How do we learn this out? Ksiv HaKha, it says in one pasuk, Mizbeach Adam HaTaseli. A altar of earth you shall make for me. Ksiv HaSam, it says in another pasuk, V'chiper Ad Masoy Amoy. We see a connection over here. We see Mizbeach and Adama and Kapara. V'chem b'gemar moed katan, chafei amud aleph, muva dechinach nafshid Rav Huna. When Rav Huna died in Bavel, asku alahasam, as Rashi explains, sha'al lues Rav Huna l'eretz Yisrael kovro. When he died in Bavel, they brought him up to Eretz Yisrael to bury him. Why? Shekola nikvar sham, nikvar b'lo chet. Whoever's buried in Eretz Yisrael is buried without sin. Shedemar haya am Yosha banose avon. Vechemuva b'psikta de Rav Kahana Rabzi says over there. Amar Rav Huna haKohen ben Avin b'shem Rav Ava ben Yemina. Vechelbo Amar hameis b'chutzaretz v'nikbar b'chutzaretz shtei tzaros biyado. If you die if you live in chutzaretz, right, and you die there and you're buried there, you have two tzaros. Tzaros hamisa v'tzaros hakvura. Bad enough you died, but a burial is also a deficiency, it's a problem, it's degrading. Okay, skip the typo. V'chen pasak ken gam ken harambam in Hilchos Malachim, it says like that, it says over there, amru chachamim kol ha-shoichen be'eretz Yisrael avonosav moichlin, mechulin. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael, his sins are forgiven, right? All of us have Yom Kippur every single morning, we wake up every morning, our sins are forgiven, we live in Eretz Yisrael. And if you're buried here, that serves for a kapara. You don't need kaddish, you don't need other things, it's being buried in Eretz Yisrael. And where you're buried, that land is for you. Okay, the land is an atonement for his people. You see, it's a curse to be buried, or at least die, in Chutzlaretz. Very important point over here. It's not the point I was alluding to that opposes burial in Eretz Yisrael, if you die in Chutz Laaretz, but it does say over here, you cannot compare someone who lived in Eretz Yisrael and was absorbed here, klita, you have the word there, klita, aliyah, klita, right? To one who came after his death. It's two different madregas. Okay, according to this approach, sure, it's great to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's very worthwhile. It's a mila. But you cannot compare a person who lived here and died here to one who was only buried here but died somewhere else. So we see, even though there's a mila of living here and then dying here, but there's also a mila of living somewhere else, dying somewhere else, and being buried here, as we have very famously by Yaakov Avinu, who was taken out of Mitzrayim to Hebron, and Yosef HaTzadik as well. Okay, so this is the primary first reason, is kapara. Being buried in Eretz Yisrael brings kapara for your averus, similar to Kaddish. Okay? Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms? No? Nothing? Okay. The second reason people want to be buried here is for an easier Trias HaMesim. So also from the Gemara in Ksuvas Kuf Yud Aleph, Amar Rav Elazar, excuse the typo, Mesim Shebechut Tzaretz Einam Chayim B'Trias HaMesim. Very strong language over here. That if you're buried in Chutz Aretz, you do not get Trias HaMesim. Shenemar, how do we know that? Because the Pasuk in Chezkel says, Vesati Tzvi Beretz HaChayim. Tzvi means God's glory or God's honor. And God says, I put my honor in the land of the life. Eretz Shetzivyoni Ba, the land where my honor is to be found, i.e. Eretz Yisrael, Mas Yechayim, the dead there will come, once again come to life. She'ein Tzivyoni Ba, but a land where my honor is not to be found, like in Chutz Aretz, Ein Mesai Yechayim, the dead will not come back to life. Very strong words.
Yes. Don't we learn about, that somehow they're tunneled from there?
Next line. Moshe, next line. Next line.
Okay, I'm not really staying for
that. Okay. So we see very strong language over here, very sharp wording over here, that person who dies in Chutz Aretz will not come back at Trias HaMesim. So the Hikshua Gemara. Sorry? Yeah. How could that be? What about the tzaddikim who are buried in Chutz Aretz? They don't get Trias HaMesim? I'm a Rabbi La, Ayadei Gilgul. They're going to have Gilgul. They're going to roll. As Rashi explains, Misgalgalim Atzamot Ad Eretz Yisrael L'Chayin Sham. It will roll. The bones will roll.
Yeah, they could also be coming back to life by someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
Right? Someone did a great job. Just like a guy who's a righteous Gentile, he can come back as a Jew. So a Ben Chutz Laretz who loses his life as a Tzad, he comes back as a Ben Eretz Yisrael.
Yefeh.
Yeah, but that's one variant.
Yeah, it's a mystical pirush to this whole idea of Gilgul at Trias HaMesim. Rashi says it's literal. The bones roll to Eretz Yisrael. But
the Gemara doesn't say.
It's a great pirush.
So why does it say Ad Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, but just because the Gemara doesn't say it doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah.
Just because a Mishnah doesn't say something doesn't mean it's not either.
Okay, let's move on. I lost my spot. Maskiv la Rav Abba sel Rava. Gilgul Tzadikim Tsaru? Question. Is this rolling from Chutz Aretz to Eretz Yisrael going to be painful for Tzadikim? Seemingly not fair. Amar Abaye, no, don't worry. Mechilos nasos san bekarka. They will have tunnels and they will walk through the tunnels. Rashi, va'om dimal ragleihem, v'holchim b'mechilos ad Eretz Yisrael. They'll walk in tunnels, v'sham niftavtavim v'yotzim.
So the Gemara is much more like Rashi, the rest of the Gemara.
So this Gemara is very literal. But I mean, you have like mystical chidushim on. There's got to be an Arizal or Rav Kook on something like you said, very similar, guaranteed. You dig up a Rav Kook, something like that.
Building the tunnels in Gaza now.
The tunnels helping us along, gonna help us. Okay, similar.
They're prepared.
They come out. It's tough to see. Beshut Shevet Alevi. The Shevet Alevi said like this. Kasav al shnei atamim lekaver b'Eretz Yisrael. He writes about in this tshuva these two reasons we just spoke about of being buried, the benefits of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Deladato biur inyan hu dehine b'Yerushalmi kilayim b'gmar ksubas muhach deha dehikpid Yaakov lichol Eretz Yisrael. Ein mashum kapar chas hashalom. Very interesting point over here. Yaakov Avinu wanted very badly to go to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. So the Shevet Alevi asks a very good question. Yaakov Avinu need kapara? It was a tzaddik. There's two reasons we're being buried in Eretz Yisrael. The benefits. One is kapara, and one is Trias HaMesim. So Shevet Alevi is bringing to our attention that Yaakov Avinu did not need the first reason. He was a tzaddik. Kapara he didn't need. Okay? So really, why did Yaakov Avinu want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? For reason number two. For Trias HaMesim. For an early Trias HaMesim and an easier Trias HaMesim. V'ayin sham b'ksubas tekamar gemar yodei Yaakov the tzaddik gamur haya. Of course, he was a tzaddik. Yaakov Avinu was a tzaddik. He didn't need the schus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Very big chiddush over here. There's two reasons you have to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Have to. The benefits of it. One is kapara, and one is Trias HaMesim. An easier Trias HaMesim. So why did Yaakov Avinu trouble himself to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So Shevet Alevi brings to our attention, he clearly didn't need the first reason. He was a tzaddik, he didn't need kapara. For people who weren't tzaddikim, sure, being buried in Eretz Yisrael is a good, quick, easy kapara. But rather for the second reason, for an easy Trias HaMesim, that's why Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried here. Okay. Now we're getting into the idea of being reinterred in Eretz Yisrael. A person is buried in Chutz Aretz, and should they be reinterred in Eretz Yisrael? So as a general rule, reinterment is forbidden for almost any reason. Okay? And the Beis Yosef explains there's two primary reasons why reinterment is forbidden. This is all in Yoredeah, Shin Samech Gimel. And he says over there that it's very scary. When the grave is open, fear comes upon the soul of the deceased. And so too, they are reminded of their judgment day, the day they die. Some say also there's a new judgment. When you take out the body, for whatever reason, a new judgment. You don't sit Shiva again, but the day of a reinterment, you're supposed to have like an Inus, no meat or wine. I'm not mistaken. There's no Shiva, that's for sure. But you're supposed to, I think it's an Inus or first day Shiva. No, not first day Shiva, it's not. There's no sitting. Just no meat and wine, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? And another reason, interesting, why reinterment is discouraged is because it's insulting to everyone else buried around. Why does this guy have to go? We're not good enough to be buried with him. Yeah, it's brought down this farm. Okay? So that's why reinterment. Now, the only permissive situations for reinterment is, of course, as we know, burial to Eretz Yisrael, but also to be moved to a family plot. Okay? Because it says, Noach la'adam, l'kaveri mavosav. It's very, it brings pleasure to the soul for a person to be in a family plot. Okay? But even from one, it says, Mikavod the Kavod, we're going to get to Loshen and Shulchan Aruch, which quotes the Gemara verbatim, but even Mikavod the Kavod Asar, Bizui the Kavod Asar, even from going from a lower, disgraceful plot to a beautiful plot, Kavod Dika plot is Asar, from a Kavod to Kavod is Asar, for sure Kavod to Bizui is Asar, the only heter, as we'll see, is Kivrei Avoisav, or burial in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's see, Pinui Ames, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Samech Gimel, like the Torah, like the Gemara. Ein mefanin es hames v'atzamo. So you don't reinter the dead or their bones. Lo mikever mechubad, the kever mechubad. Not even if it's from a distinct plot to another distinct and honorable plot. Lo mikever bazui, the kever bazui. Not from one disgraceful location to another disgraceful location. Lo mibizui, the mechubad. Not from a disgraceful location even to a honorable location. Even that you can't reinter. Vein tzarich lomar, of course, mi mechuba da bazui, you can't go from a noble location to a disgraceful location. Ubetoch shelo, but within his own plot, afilu mi mechuba da bazui muter. A person is buried with the kings of the greatest kings of the world, and a beautiful, honorable plot, but he has a family plot in some kind of cemetery in the Midwest where nobody goes and visits. Still, you're allowed to remove the remains from the honorable location to the dishonorable location, to the disgraceful, the forgotten, okay, a location if it's a family plot. Okay? She'erev, she'ariv la'adam she'noach etzel avoisav. It is a rave, pleasant for a person to be buried next to his forefathers.
Somebody has a chance to be buried next to, you know, let's say his grandparents or whatever, you know, great-grandparents, or next to Ramos Feinstein.
Clearly, the neshama prefers the family plot. That's what it says.
Don't you want to chill with your emotions?
Yeah. It's a good one. As far as I seem to say, that
I mean, I'm not talking about a nice. I'm talking about a nice one in terms of godless. You know, like a nice kever.
Yeah.
You know, space opened up beyond the emotion.
Yeah. The pastors, I don't know. The Sfarim seem to say that a soul wants to be with his family. We can get into the issue, if there's time, by second marriage, where should the wife or husband be buried? Very interesting. The chen kadei lekovro b'Eretz Yisrael mutter, and of course, why we're here tonight, to reinter to Eretz Yisrael is mutter. V'im nasnu sham amonasof noso, but if a person was buried in a place, anywhere in the world, on condition knowing that he'd be reinterred sometime down the road, mutter b'chol inyan. A conditional burial is valid. Halacha recognizes a conditional burial, and he can be reinterred. Okay, of course, you know, the Gush Katif, right? It was almanas, you know, it was a conditional burial. Now that we have to go, that was one of the heterim. Well, what?
Now that we have to go, we retroactively
the condition? Yeah, or the condition was Muvan Latzmo. From Yamit and from Ophira and all these places, we had experience in this area. So that's one of the, heterim is a terrible word to use, but that's with some of the justifications came out of. Okay, mutar b'chol inyan. If it was right, if nasnu sham amnas, if no so, if it was there.
How about those could be damaged? I mean, if they would leave it there and then let's.
Right, the goyim would damage it. That's another reason. Yeah.
Is that one reason brought down?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Sfarim are very clear on that. They might even have that exact source. Oh, might even have that source. I don't bring that paper. I have it at home. But yeah, if the goyim are going to destroy the area, you'll have to reinter without preconditions.
I say
right.
You don't have to make up.
They have to go there. They don't have to go there. You're right. You're right. Okay, the Shach says, so the Shach brings down why is it permissible to reenter to Eretz Yisrael. So the Shach only brings down the first reason, interestingly, that you're allowed to transfer them for Kapara. Okay?
Well, I guess the Kitiv is not Eretz Yisrael anymore, so then you have the Eretz Yisrael reason also.
That's very interesting, but why wouldn't it be Eretz Yisrael though?
I'm saying, yeah. According to the secular government and the Arabs.
No, but really, that's an important point you bring up. It is Eretz Yisrael. For it, yeah. Sinai, the Sinai settlement, that's questionable, that's perhaps. Right. Perhaps. But Gush Katif remains Eretz Yisrael, right? If you go to Lebanon, you go to you keep one day Yontif. What? For the purpose of Maaser and Truma, maybe not, but for Gush Eretz Yisrael, sure it did. It was under the Kibush. Professor Schechter has an interesting piece on this, where he brings both views.
Sinai was
to
also
white.
Under the Kibush.
Tzal, yeah. Not of Shlomo, though. Right, the question is if Tzal counts, yeah. Rav Hirschel Schachter has an interesting piece on this, on Gush Katif, the halachic status of Gush Katif. Okay. So Yotze, the halacha psuka.
Does it work the other way? Sorry.
What do you mean?
If you're buried here, your whole family's there, and then the spot opens up over there, should you be buried over there?
Well, that's a good kasha. I didn't see that discussed
or
anywhere.
Can you?
That's a very good kasha. I didn't see it discussed anywhere.
What's downgrade?
Can you then? No, but maybe.
Right, maybe. Kevra
voice stuff, yeah. Right. It's a very good question. I didn't see it dealt with anywhere.
There was an analogy of soldiers that died. They want to bury them in Russia or something. They usually don't. Very big efforts not to.
You're thinking like Hayalbo dead?
Yeah, it was in Russia.
Right.
That's the only case I remember recently.
Right, so what are we seeing? What's the is military
the
policy?
The body of every soldier. Usually if the person is Jewish, they make a very big effort not to.
The army does? Yeah? Because of the benefits of being Eretz Yisrael over the family plots. So maybe there's your answer.
Not yeah. Ukraine, maybe America.
So Yotzid Allah Hapsuka.
More comfortable.
It comes out over here. The Musa Muta Lifnosis Lamesh Kadeh Laloso, the Kobro Beretz Yisrael, Mipneiz Zeu, the Kaparo Shalo, Kitichsi, Vechipra, Masa Amma, Vilavush, Mosi Pipnekia, Kavur Beretz Yisrael, Avonosov Nimcholin. Interesting here, we see a chilik between Kapara and Avonosov Nimcholin. You would think it's one of the same. But we see a chilek. One is kapara. You're atoned. But from the other approach, they're gone. Your sins are wiped away. Very interesting chilek. Haramban betoras adam. Very interesting piece. And the Ramban, I don't know if we'll get to it, so I'll just mention, give you a sneak preview. Is there benefit of Yerushalayim over other parts of Eretz Yisrael? And is reinterment from Eretz Yisrael allowed to Yerushalayim? Okay, that's what the Ramban deals with over there in Toras Adam. What? Inside the city walls. So being as close as you can to the Mizbech. And they say that Tzchias HaBeisim will start at Har HaZeisim.
So then even something what's Yerushalayim? And even going from this block from Rabbi Shemesh to that block from Rabbi Shemesh is at the same shadow. You're a block closer.
Okay, I have some of those answers. We'll see if we get to it at the end. But Tzitz Eliezer Chelak Yud Aleph is where to look for that. Okay. Now we're going to get into a few shilas. We're going to deal with tshuvas now. Shutim, what if a person commanded their children to bury them in Eretz Yisrael upon death or reinterment? What if they commanded them not to? What if they were not clear in their wishes? We're going to deal with this right now. The first one I want to deal with is the Marashtam. And it's like this. Here's the Shaila. Actually, I left more room for the Shaila. Shaila is something more interesting than tshuva. Tshuva is very, three words. But the Shaila is very interesting. So the Marashtam was asked like this. Nishal, he was asked, Beruven b'yoso chutzla here. He was away, he was on a trip, comes back, he finds that his mother died. He wasn't around, but she commanded before she died, she commanded her son, she left instructions that her son should bury her in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to fulfill his mother's wishes. There was a wall full of problems and barriers to filling his mother's wishes. Okay? Sakana sadrachim beyam ubiyabasha. Okay, minim shoinim, all kinds of different reasons. Gami pa'esam malchus, the government was a barrier. Ashan v'shubadim aleihem, we are subservient to the government. She'im yargishu b'davar, if they would think something's fishy over here that's moving dead bodies around, yesh tanakal sakan l'chaim l'meisim, it could cause damage, fear, it's a danger for those who are living, the Jews, it might be a pogrom or something, and for the dead, of course, it might disgrace the body. Alken sha'al ha-shoel eiz ha-derech yishkon or, therefore he asked the Marashtam, what do I do? My mother asked for Eretz Yisrael, but we've got a wall full of barriers, of bureaucracy, the sakana, the roads are dangerous. The government might think something's fishy. It might end up being more of a trouble, more danger to both the living and the dead than any benefit at all. Very good. Very good. There's no chiyu to bury Eretz Yisrael. So the Malchus said, it's an Indian, so the Malchus would come before an Indian. Yeah. So it's like... So the Maharaj Dam's tshuva has three chakiros. He deals with three questions over here. Aleph, maha mitzvah zos umatam yesh. He's going to discuss what is the mitzvah bearing Eretz Yisrael and what's the reason for it. Bet, im shayach b'mitzvah sanifteres b'davar kezeh, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, the kofin aleha. We're going to discuss if this request from his mother has a din, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Generally we say there is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. We're going to see if this particular request from this particular person also has a din mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. And three, gimel, im yesh l'chalek b'in zeh b'in zman ha-talmud l'zmano, l'zmanenu l'zmano. So is there a difference between Talmudic times and today? So these three things, I put it out in paragraph 1, 2, and 3. Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, and Gimel is 3. Okay, so what's the mitzvah? 1. Mushalmi, Maseches Kilayim, Rav Abahu, Bar Zmine, Rav Chama, Bar Chanina, Chad Amar, Meitzav, Nikvar Sham, Yesh, V'yaduf Beis. If you're buried in Chutz Laaretz, if you die there and buried there, you got two problems. Meis Kam, V'nikvar Sham, Yesh, V'yaduf Aleph. But if you're... Yeah, but it's coming... A buried Eretz Yisrael, you got only one tzara to worry about. The Charna Amar Kvura Shalkan Mechaperet Al Misa Shalahen, being buried in Eretz Yisrael, is a kapara for dying over there. Hine Sharishon Svir Leish Kishemes V'Nikvasham Zachel Shtei Malos. When you die and are buried in Eretz Yisrael, you have two milos. V'Imlo El Shemes Chutzar Nikvar Eretz Yisrael in Biadol Malachas. But if you die there and buried here in Eretz Israel, you only have one benefit to your death. Everyone agrees it's a mitzvah, it's great. I shouldn't say mitzvah is a bad word to use in this particular case, but it's a schus. It's a schus. Question is how much? Some say a little bit more, a bit less. But everyone agrees it's a schus. Aval schus mia avila kule alma. Aval amar bar kirya savar, this is Rav Bar Kirya. She'ein schus bikvuras aguf b'Eretz Yisrael. There is no benefit of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Interesting, huh? Kasher yatzan hasham v'chutzaretz, if you died in chutzaretz. You died there, you buried there, you missed the boat. You didn't come when you were alive, you missed the boat. El shadraba yesh chova v'kura lehem v'titamu kivan shalobo b'chaim. And he says on them, v'tavo v'titamu aretz. It's a pasuk, v'tavo v'titamu aretz. You came, you're defiling our land. Okay? It reminds me of the of Gior. There's only Gior now. But when Mashiach comes, there won't be Giyur. So any guy who doesn't make Giyur now, he missed the boat. So too, Rav Bar Kirya wants to say that if you die there, you missed the boat. You have to die here. Coming to be buried here is Mitame Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, he wants you here alive. It could work for Nefesh B'Nefesh. Okay, so that's the schus, most Rishonim, most Tanaim, Amoraim, everyone. Say it's a big schus, a big Inyan, except for one. It says, if you die there, you're buried there. If you don't come. Don't come dead, come only alive. Okay.
Are there any other opinions that hold that there's more than two reasons to be buried here?
There's one more reason that's cited in the Shut Mishnah Halachos, and if I understand it correctly, he explains that being in Eretz Yisrael is being Mali or Kedusha. I'll regal achas off the cuff. What I understood is like it's one big mikvah. It's a big mikvah over here. And when you come into be buried in Yisrael, you're sanctifying yourself in a greater level. That's his word. His word is Ha'alas the Kedusha. Ha'alas be Kedusha when you bury Eretz Yisrael. It's in Mishnah Halachos. He's a very recent, he's a really recent authority, but before that, only see the two reasons generally. Okay. Two. is there a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis in this situation? So he says like this: the chol sheken benidon shelano ushtiva lifnei moso. She commanded before she was buried, before she died. V'shenikvar al das lifnoso shu musar mitzvah abanav l'kayim devarav. It's mutter the mitzvah to fulfill your parents' wishes. The ktsas nira shalotiva mamash labanav al shetiva kach sheisu. We said in the question, her son wasn't around. She didn't directly instruct her son. She did not directly instruct her son to bury her in Eretz Yisrael. She let it be known that was her wishes, but she didn't command anyone who was commandable. Umoya rab pasach shemitzvah banav l'kayim, but still mitzvah for the children to be mekayim divrei ha'meis. Mikomakov lamanu gamken she'enu kol kachiyuv. Being mekayim divrei ha'meis is not a chiyuv. Listen to this, gentlemen. This is a big chiddush, by the way. Because we think mitzvah kind of amazed, but he's saying over here it's not a chiyuv. It's a nice thing to do. Dimloken hayal lomar chayavin. It's not called chayav the kind of amazed, or kofin the kind of amazed. It's called mitzvah the kind of amazed. So it's nice. Rak amar mitzvah shur tsono lomar mitzvah havi chiyuv lo havi.
It's like a kiyumas.
Mitzvah kiyumas. Right, not a mitzvah kiyumas. Mitzvah kind of amazed is not a chiyuv. Very interesting. I think that's why at first you see it so blatantly. And the third thing. Is there a time difference between the Zman HaTalmud and Zman Enu? It says, "Im yesh l'chalek bein Zman HaTalmud and Zman Enu, zeh shaninu b'ktubus, b'ksubus, ha'kol ma'ilin eretz Yisrael v'ein ha'kol motzin." Famous sugya that a couple, husband and wife, want to come to Eretz Yisrael, but one of the couple is against it. With the Bryce over there says, he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, he wants to make Aliyah. She says, no, I'm not making Aliyah. Kofin oso la'alois, we force her to make Aliyah. She has to, she has no choice. Vimlav, Taitiv Laksuba, she forfeits the rights of Laksuba, she gets divorced, and she doesn't get any money. He omers la alois, he omers la alois, but she wants to make Aliyah, and he says no. Kofin oso la alois, we force him to make Aliyah. Vimlav, Yotzim Vitan Ksuba, if he refuses to go, he must divorce her and give her all the Ksuba. Okay, now listen to the famous Tosfos over there. Who omer la alois, yada, 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 quoting the Gemara. Eino noheg bizman hazed, ika sakanas drachim. The Tosfos over there says that the whole mitzvah nechiyu to make aliyah does not apply in his day, at least, because today we have sakanas drachim. It's very dangerous to go from Europe, to go from Babel, wherever it was talking about, to Eretz Yisrael.
The Rambam, I think, does bring this down.
So. Tosfos' wording?
No, the wording of the Gemara.
Yeah. But Tosfos' wording is very interesting because he says in his time sakanas drachim. Okay? So the Marash Dam digests these three points, and as you see in the Sikkum over there, he comes out. Don't do anything. Shev Valtase Adif.
So I mean, to take a mace like by boat, you know, like the boat flip, you know, like
right. Sakanas Adrachim.
Yeah.
So the Baruch Dam says like this: if Tosfos is talking about for living people Sakanas Adrachim, how much more so schlepping a body around the world to get to Eretz Yisrael is even more of a Sakanas Adrachim. So he says, as you see, Shev Valtase Adif. Don't do nothing. That's what he comes out. So he says, hey, it's a schus, but not everyone agrees it's a schus. Two. It's not a chiyuv the kind of yameis, but there is a mitzvah, but no chiyuv. And three sakanas adrachim, in conclusion, no need to do so. Okay? In a similar.
Everybody holds it.
No, one view said if you die in chutzars, don't come be buried here. We don't want you dead.
Yeah, but it still is close to be buried here.
It's not clear for that opinion.
Why? Wow, that opinion is. Seems like it's better to be buried here, but we don't want you because you died over there.
I see it as, and by quoting the pasuk v'tavo v'titma'u haaretz, you're coming and defiling our land.
Right.
You're not even opening the door to the possibility of coming because of tumah. It's deficient. It's a chesaron.
No, because you're bringing tumah. That's what.
You want to say that even according to the schus? I think according to Rav Bar Kiria.
I'm viewing it like he's saying like since you grew up there, you know, like you're bringing tumah to the haaretz.
Okay. Could be. I see them being not only opposed to it, but also saying there's no value. You forfeited your any schus by dying there. That's how I see it. Another example, another case in the tshuvas. Lo tziva sheolichu likaveh b'Eretz Yisrael. He did not. The parent died and did not make any mention of being buried in Eretz Yisrael or not. So this is a Mahal Bach. Nishal b'tzur b'drabanan. This is a very interesting shaila. It's very short, but it's very interesting because it's about a Talmud Chacham. So Nishal b'tzurma the Rabbanon, they asked about Talmud Chacham, the Nachnashti b'chutzaretz, he died in chutzaretz. Ve'lo tziva shi'alu banav atzmosav l'Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't command before he died to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ratu l'alosav, they wanted to bring him up to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ach, istapku imutur la loisur l'Eretz Yisrael. They're wondering if it's even permitted at all, because he left no instructions. Al pimashi fligu chazal b'maras ha-kavur b'Eretz, or dimat kim sholtziva zosol nichal le'bekach. Maybe because he didn't bring any instructions to be Eretz Yisrael, and I didn't bring the entire tshuva, but one piece he brings in the tshuva, he says in Marabach, very interesting, maybe you shouldn't bring this Talmud Chacham to Eretz Yisrael, because he holds like Rebbe Bar Kirya.
If he wanted, he would have said it.
Right. And the fact that he didn't, maybe he holds like Rebbe Bar Kirya.
This would only apply by Talmud Chacham, because he simply knew those
shitas? According to Marabach, yeah, he's dealing very strictly with the Talmud Chacham. So, but he says, Sikum La'alot, he comes that you should still bring him up. But that's one of the shikulim that maybe shouldn't bring up the Talmud Chacham, because maybe he held like Rav Bar Kirya. Very interesting, huh? So we see over here, no instructions. It's called the Chomer, though. That called the Chomer, that if it's not Talmud Chacham, wouldn't know of any other shitas. And for sure, yeah. So he comes out, if there's no instructions, you should bring them up to burial Eretz Yisrael if possible. Here's another one. Tziva beferu shelo yolichu likav Eretz Yisrael. Guy dies, says, I don't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Yaakov Kamenetsky said very clearly, I don't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So I asked why. He says, I don't want people to think there's any chesaron being buried in Chutz Laretz. The Jews buried in Chutz Laretz are still, you know, good Jews, and you shouldn't think there's any deficiency, anything wrong with them. So also the Marabach. Nishal imutar la'alos kivro in Masai Shetziva v'feirush v'mefora shalo yolichu likavar b'Eretz Yisrael. What about if the person said, do not take me to Eretz Yisrael? The cause of some denier lo the law shayivet kivin the kivur to Eretz Yisrael la mishum yikra dechaya. It's not permissible. If the person said, don't take me to Eretz Yisrael, it's not permissible to do so. Why? Because burial in Eretz Yisrael is not to honor the living. El mishum kapas avanos delay, but rather to have atonement for your sins. V'nichusa denavshei havik ilu amar lo bin kapara. Perhaps a person said, I don't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael because he's not choshish for this, or he doesn't need this, he doesn't want to take advantage of kapara avanos. So don't be buried in Israel. I don't need any kunsim. Someone's going to say kash for me. I don't need any kapara. For the kapara, don't take me up. And he comes out, don't take him up.
Didn't we say that the tzivui of the nifter is not a chiyav haseh, but only a kisuf yumus?
Right.
So, therefore, we shouldn't be saying you're not allowed to take him up. I mean, that would imply it's a chiyav. I'm bound by his instruction not to take him up? Well, I say zakon lam shalafanav. I want to be zakon.
Think about this for a second. Let's think about this for a second. Wake up, everyone. Wake up.
On the reverse, we say you don't have to listen, right? If he says take me, we say you have the right not to.
Done. So, okay, wait. He says don't take me. That's it saves money, saves time, saves headache, saves bureaucracy. Right? So it's an easy. Or then add on everything you want. So that's easy. The kayim divrei hames. So why would we look the other way when there's a tircha involved?
It's my tircha. It's not his tircha.
But you still get the advantage of. Mitzvah Kayim Divrei HaMeis. Why would you get away from trying to enjoy that advantage?
Well, you're weighing, right? You're weighing on a scale. Mitzvah Kiyemis, the Kayim Divrei HaMeis, and a Mitzvah Kiyemis,
it's not a mitzvah.
Okay, something mutter to do.
Right.
Of a segula call, kapara
call. Right, right. Your own words are just proving your point. Yes, segulas.
You might say better. You wouldn't say usser. That's not the point here. I'm not saying you should take him. I'm saying, are you forbidden?
He says,
or is it recommended?
I can't see, but I don't understand. If you have mitzvah, the Kayim Divrei HaMeis, so easily at your fingertips, why would you give that up for exclusive burial?
So yesh ma'aso, so you know, it's
you're
better
saying
not
don't
to.
Don't do it because it's a tirchon?
We recommend not to, but if someone chooses to do it,
the sons choose to do it?
Do they have their shus not?
My gut feeling is no, they can't do it. Because the mitzvah Kayim Divrei HaMeis is much greater than the exclusive burial in Eretz Yisrael.
So is that towards Isser?
Usser is the right word, you just don't do it.
Not recommended.
You don't do it. in any situation where you have a mitzvah, even if it's not a chiyuv, it's a chiyumis, or a minig, or a chumra, or a segula, the mitzvah comes first.
You've done it a favor if you did it anyway.
What's that?
Right. So maybe you didn't do an aveira. But you definitely lost out the opportunity to enjoy mitzvah Kayim Divrei HaMeis.
Doesn't matter what type of mitzvah.
How about this? The guy makes a cheshbon. I'm going to sacrifice my own mitzvah Kayim on behalf of my father, on behalf of my nifter. I'm going to allow him to benefit. And I'll suffer. I'll lose out on my mitzvah Kayim in order to help me zaka him.
Okay, but the halachic system doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way.
Let me ask you.
I think you don't take him up. I think it's not allowed. I think it's not allowed. I think you're not allowed to forfeit mitzvah kaim divrei meis for a schools or segula and that kind of thing. That's what I think. That's how I understand it.
Is there still mitzvah kibud avim after the parent died?
100%. Very clearly in Shulchan Aruch.
So then,
I was saying, so you get kibud avim also. Very good point. You also get kibud avim.
So we have kibud avim by bringing him up when he said instructions to bring him up.
When he had instructions to give him up. Yes.
Yeah.
But here,
the opposite case. I'm saying, go back to the opposite case. Then when he's in the instruction before he dies, bring me up to Eretz Yisrael.
Then for sure you
should kibud avim.
For sure you have to do it.
Bring him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we said previous Shiloh where we knocked that. Right, well, we said, well, you got the danger of the journey, you've got this issue, that issue, so it's not really a big opinion anyway.
No, but that's Tziva Beferu Shalolalois.
The other one wasn't a Tziva
Beferu. The previous case was, yeah, Tziva Beferu was the previous case.
No, that was the whole point.
No, previous
it
case.
It wasn't in front of him, but he was Mitzvah Mitzavet, right?
Their wishes were expressed, there was no commandment given.
They were expressed. Given. Okay,
so there probably would have been Kibbut Aveim, but that's a Kiyumis Kibbut Aveim. Because there was no clear instruction.
Right.
Here you have a Chiyuv. It's a good point. Thank you. So here, in top of Mitzvah Kandi Ramei, they also have the Feirush Kibud Aveim. And also, next case, Heicha Shalot Tziva Beferush Shalot Alayso. There was no explicit instructions not to bring him up or her up. Apa Gav Shigila Data B'chayav Delo Shapir Lamei Bar Hachi. Even though, listen to this, I maybe my title is misleading, but as the question goes, even if they expressed intention or somewhat opposition to being brought to Eretz Yisrael, as it's brought in the Pesachei Tshuva, also reads the Marlbach. Shekasa da'af im gila data b'chay lefeirush d'lav shapir l'mesach misna Eretz Yisrael afilu hachi shari ibnohi l'miskei u'mitzvah ka'avid. If they didn't command, don't bring me up, but express disapproval to the practice, the Pesachei Tshuva says, you still should do it and get a mitzvah for doing so. So the Moshe finds he has a tshuva on this Negro Moshe. There's no kibud aveim. There's no conflict in kibud aveim.
No conflict.
But Moshe says, Moshe agrees to this, but says only if the children initiate first the reinterment or the burial, but it cannot be done through any other channels. It has to be the sons. Actually, the sons is his wording. Has to decide to proceed with this.
So the only real factor in this kibud aveim, which is basically saying all other factors here.
No, you have mitzvah kaim divrei ameis where possible. You have the added kibud aveim where applicable, and so all things being equal, you always bury in Eretz Yisrael. When things are not being equal, the other considerations generally take priority. Okay. Okay. An interesting tshuva on the Mishnah Lachos.
Unless they specifically say, "I don't want to be buried."
I'm getting here. So the parents give it specific instructions.
I want to be buried in this cemetery.
Bury
in
here or don't bury here. That's going to trump everything else.
Yeah.
Right. That's the wild card. Everything else is nice, is a skula. The explicit instructions
explicit
comes
comes
from the
first.
Parents.
Comes first. Explicit instructions come first. Just because time's running short, maybe we'll jump a little bit. Let us jump to the last page. That's the Mishnah Lach is very interesting. Let me just tell you outside what that shoe was all about. So the Mishnah Lachos, it's of Moshe Stern, right? He has a very interesting shaila. He says, what about reinterment after several years? So like this is a shikul. Why do we say kadosh for 11 months? Because the person is kapar for 11 months. Don't say kadosh for 12 months. If you say kadosh for 12 months, it appears that person was a Rasha. Wait a second. Why do we bury in Eretz Yisrael? Kapar savanos. By taking someone out for reinterment after 1 year has passed, or two, or three, or four, perhaps you're showing they need more kapara. They were so bad, they need the schools of Eretz Yisrael. Get them over there because they were so bad, they need more kapara. So he suggests maybe you shouldn't do it because it might be embarrassing. It's like saying Kaddish in the 12th month. Comes out not like that, but interesting tshuva. Go through it at your free time. The top of the last page. So there's a custom, those who can't be buried in Eretz Yisrael, to have at least some earth from Eretz Yisrael put in their coffin. So it comes, Bahagos Maimonios, Havim Midivei Rishami, the Parakanose, Amar, like Kivon Shemagil Eretz, Hayu Non Gush Afar, when they used to bring the bodies from Babel to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, they used to take earth and put it on the coffin. Umanichin al Arono, Tichsi Vechiprat Masaomo, that the earth gives Kapar even there. Now, very interesting over here that the source for the earth, when a person dies, the source for it is when you're bringing the bodies to here. According to the original Talmudic source, it doesn't fit to take earth of Eretz Yisrael when you're buried in Chutz Laretz. Again, the source is saying when they would come from Babel, they would put earth in the coffin. Where does it say that? Right. They would put earth on the coffin. It doesn't say when they were buried in Babel, they bring earth from Eretz Yisrael to be put in the coffin over there. It's when they came here, the earth was put in the coffin. Not the reverse. But we grew up in Chutz Laretz, right? We put earth of Eretz Yisrael into the coffin. It seems not like this. Yeah. Very widespread. Mikan Yirismach the Mashanagul Anich Afar Meretz Yisrael Amesim Afagavda Hi Yushami Ari Meretz Yisrael. So this is the source. This is the source of putting earth in a coffin in Chutz Laretz. Earth of Eretz Yisrael, coffin of Chutz Laretz. But as he brings over here, the whole proof is hafuch, hafuch. The whole source is that we are brought from Chutz Laretz to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Even then, even if you're being brought to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, you should still put earth from Eretz Yisrael in the coffin. We don't see the reverse. But weirdly, that's how it was born. In Chutz Laretz, we take earth from Eretz Yisrael and put it in the coffin. But the source is not like that. The Ramah brings us down.
They used to
take
earth from Babel.
No,
to here.
No. When they come, take earth from Eretz Yisrael and put it in their coffin.
Where else are you supposed to put it?
Now you might think it's enough to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. They're being buried in Israel anyways. Why don't they put earth in their coffin?
What do you mean, in the actual coffin?
In the actual coffin. When they brought from Chutz Laretz, they use a coffin. Good Shabbat. It says umanichim al arono. The word is arono. Umanichim al arono. It says they used to put in their coffin. So it could be they use coffins. Have you got burial practices, Rabbi? Jewish burial practices have changed tremendously over the last 3,000 years. We used to be buried, right, go to Beit Guvrin, in open shelves for everyone to see the body rot. And then later the bones are put... Yeah. So, the Jewish... It seems those catacombs were open and accessible. Yeah, but when someone died the next day, they put the body there to rot on another shelf. You got a Beit Guvrin, you have a like a morgue. You have shelf. So the part, it seems it was like, you know. Yeah, that's the idea.
No, it's like what they do with the goyim, you know, when you're buried above ground.
But that's a little bit different, though.
What's that called?
Mausoleum.
Yeah, mausoleum, yeah. There were no Jews buried in Beit Guvrin, no? Beit Guvrin?
The only Jewish place.
Why? It was the Bar Kokhba revolt, they hid there, no?
It was a Greek city.
Yeah.
And it was ruined or whatever by Yehuda Amalek. The inhabitants destroyed the place when they were given the choice
between the several
places. To go under Yehuda Amalek's rule or get out. And they destroyed the place and got out.
Yeah?
And were they Jews or not? I don't know.
Because the story that I'm familiar with of Beit Guvrin is that's where they hid during the Bar Kokhba revolt. The Jews hid.
Well, why else did they hide it?
The city that was there.
Yeah.
That's the story. That's what the archaeologists go there. That's what
they talk about. Oh, yeah? I don't know. But I've seen these. I've been in Beit Sharim. Also, Beit Sharim is similar. Right, the stone coffin. Like the famous Jesus box they found apparently. Yeah, reuse the same boxes, yeah.
That was the idea.
Reuse, recycle. Yeah.
Very green.
Okay, very green. So that is the source of burying people with earth from Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. But people don't realize this, but the source is the exact reverse. When you're coming from Chutz Laretz, you should put some in your coffin, not the reverse. But anyways, the custom was born. V'yesh laminhag ze ama shismochu. There is a source for it. Okay, some interesting things I dug up on different academic websites. So listen to this, paragraph 1 in English. So some people were not so fortunate to be buried in the land of Israel, so they still made a point of obtaining some grains of dust from the land of Israel, which they kept so that when they died, they could bury their relatives with some of the dust of the land of Israel. Okay? Thus it would be as if they had been buried in the land of Israel since they had been interred in its dust. Even Gentiles practice this custom. This is a wow. I found a source that Gentiles, Christians, I don't know what, but they wanted earth from Eretz Yisrael to be buried with Eretz Yisrael. They do the
land.
Right? They also say it's the Holy Land. So we see Gentiles did this too, as attested by Rabbi Moses Basola in Cyprus, very just down the road in Cyprus, right? Yain Kafrisin, right just down the road. There's a place to which many ships carried dirt from the land of Israel, and they would bury their dignitaries there in ancient times. And this is an indication that everyone acknowledges the sanctity of the land of Israel. Fine.
It doesn't mean that they're into this, going in tunnels underneath the.
Right, no, it's sentimental. It's sentimental. But very interesting that the Gentiles the sentimentality extended to the earth of Eretz Yisrael. In 1950, Rabbi Tzion Uziel, chief rabbi of Israel, was asked if it was permissible for the last surviving Jew from the city of Kobel in Poland, who was a Kohen, sorry for the typo, to take the ashes of the city's martyrs who died in the Holocaust, among them all the members of his family, and bring them to Israel. So he ruled it was permissible to take the ashes, a Kohen, to take the ashes, because he viewed it as a positive fulfillment of the mitzvah to bury the dead. I wanted to do some
research.
They
weren't buried yet before.
That's right. So he has a did mitzvah. That's the only I could think of. I don't look at this.
A lot of good time for his family members.
What? A Kohen Kol Mitzvah were only for the top seven. It doesn't say who it was.
You and all his family members. You're already being told me to move one, move them all.
Ah, so that's okay.
Robert Bashirim?
Yeah. So you can say, once he was one close relative, okay, bring the rest along, right? Maybe he had a din mis mitzvah. Or maybe he had a din mis mitzvah, that's why the Kohen was allowed to take it. Interesting. Okay. This is very interesting from Tchumin, from Moses Montefiore.
Well, like you said before, the last surviving Jew, if you didn't get it out then, who knows what they would have done with
that. Right, save it from the Goyim. So that's another heads up. But that's a bit of a... I don't know if that has a din mis mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, but I don't have the mitzvah, so make it a chiddush for a Kohen to be allowed to do that. The next paragraph is more recent than 1950. In 1987, Rabbi Pinchas Toledano, I believe he's still alive, the rabbi of the Sephardic community in London, he writes a tshuva on the use of a microphone on Shabbos, which I know well, where he's very makeable, permits the use of a microphone on Shabbos. He wrote there was a great mitzvah to bring to Israel the bones of Sir Moses Montefiore, who was buried in England. So the place where he lay was depopulated and a yeshiva had not been established near his grave as he requested in his will. I did some research on this Wikipedia and it says there was a yeshiva placed by his grave. It says Jewish Academy or something. Moreover, Rabbi Feinstein argued, I guess Rav Moshe, they asked him about moving Montefiore's remains. He said it would constitute an affront to all the rabbis who remain buried outside of Israel. Don't move Montefiore, Rav Moshe said. Rabbi Toledano disagreed, basing his views on the buildings of Rabbi Avadi Yosef and Mordechai Eliyahu, who were in favor of moving Montefiore, arguing that Montefiore had a special fondness for the land of Israel as inhabitants, and that bringing his remains here would give him bliss. In the end, they did not bring Moses Montefiore. I guess when Moshe says no, it's no. It doesn't matter who else says yes. I don't know.
He's not buried here?
I don't know. Is that the Rothschilds? Yeah. I know he's buried there still, according to Wikipedia.
You can go ahead and change it.
According to the Jewish.
Everybody quotes Wikipedia.
I love Wikipedia. Animet on Wikipedia. It was very interesting. That was an interesting one.
But the idea is Tanai wasn't fulfilled, so that does add a little.
It adds weight. But the Wikipedia says. It's true, but Yaakov Kamenetsky said, no, don't bury me in Eretz Yisrael. I want to show that it's okay to bury in Chutz Laaretz. Those Jews are good too.
The point is, he hadn't given instructions.
No, but maybe at the time that he was buried, there was a yeshiva there. But now there.
Or that too, right?
Right, and now there isn't.
Could be. Wikipedia wasn't updated. Okay. Here we spoke briefly about the Indra Chusadin and burial. The next paragraph is exactly that. In 1988, the idea was raised with respect to two admors, Shlomo Karlin and Aaron Karlin. They were buried in Ludmir and one in Milinowa, in Ukraine. So Rabbi Simon Shimon Buchsban addressed a query to leading rabbis of Israel whether the remains ought to be brought to Israel since the tombstones and cemeteries where they lay had been destroyed and the Gentiles had built close to their graves, leading to a fear that their graves might be desecrated. Most halachic authorities answered in the affirmative, but in the final analysis, the remains were not brought to Israel because Ukrainian authorities promised that the cemeteries would not be harmed. So there you have a bit of Adina al-Mukhus Adina. The promise of the Goyim that had official state law was adequate to postpone, to defer, completely not go, do away with reinterment in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, we'll end on an interesting note. There was always discussion about bringing Rabbi Nachman's remains from the Ukraine to Eretz Yisrael. It never happened. First of all, it probably won't happen because Ukrainian authorities won't let it happen because they make of the week of Shesaret Simei Tshuva more money than they need a whole year. That there's no chance the Ukrainian government will allow Rabbi Nachman's remains to be buried. We'll end up on this note. I don't know if you realize it. I don't know if it's a secret of some sort, but it's not a secret. But they don't know where Rabbi Nachman's buried. The spot they say is not the spot. We know he's in that cemetery. We don't know where. That spot was revealed in a dream to one of the Hasidim, whatever it was, that it was over there. That's the only raya, guys. It was a dream. That spot is marked off based on someone's dream. That's the source of Rabbi Nachman's buried, where they say he is. But we do know he's buried in that cemetery. In any event, ain't going to happen. Whether they know he's there or he's not there, the Ukrainians will never let it come. Shkoyach! Thank you for coming. Hope you enjoyed. Did this thing go off by itself or something?
So give us a wow.
Are there a few wows?
I know, but give us one.
Let's put a cabin with Shalim.